I appreciate that, honey, and we want to give opportunity, give time to this right here. And so I said Luke 11, and like I said, we're going to be there here. The Bible says this right here in Luke 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And depending on how the Lord leads, we'll try to at least cover these verses at this time. But I've titled this The Disciples' Prayer. It's what the Lord taught his disciples to pray. And going to really try to focus in on this passage, "Hallowed be thy name." So let's pray, Father. Let's pray, Father. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the song. Thank you for the testimony. And just thank you for your wonderful work of grace in the life of Sister Victoria. No doubt in the life of others in this room as well. But we certainly thank you. 5 years and you've been good. And Lord, I know much more she could have shared about just being on mission and being on the journey with you, dear God. But we certainly thank you for what we've been able to hear today. And I do pray now that you would bless this time, Father. Fill me with your Spirit and help us, dear God. We need you. We can do nothing without you. And you be glorified in this time, and you help us to pray and seek for your name to be hallowed with our lips and with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, as we saw Jesus' disciples looking at John the Baptist, and they saw Jesus praying, but they knew that John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. And so they were Jesus' disciples, and they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples to pray." And we brought out some important things. The fact that we're not interested in saying prayers. We're interested in praying. Saying a prayer and praying are different. We want to commune in with God in our prayer. And Jesus introduces the God of the universe as the Father of those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, in the world in which we live, and the religious world especially, and especially at an event like maybe a funeral or a wedding or whatever the case may be, people have this idea that everyone is the child of God, or are we all the children of God. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says that ye are of your father the devil, as Jesus was referring to the religious lost people there in John 8:44 and in 1 John 3:10. He said, "Herein are the children of God and the children of the devil." Ephesians 2:2 says that the children of the devil are energized by the prince of the power of the air. But I say all of that to say this: there is a distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. And Jesus said that one of the main distinctions is that God is the Father of those who are His children. Amen. God is literally, He is actually our Father for those who come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once the devil was my father. For 27 years, the devil was my father. Are you listening to me? But on September the 18th, 2005, when I believed on Jesus to be the forgiver of my sins, my Lord and Savior, He became my Savior and God became my Father, and He's been my Father for the last 14 years. Amen. And listen, if you're in here this morning, you're saved. That is your testimony. Once upon a time, you were a child of the devil, and then you got saved and God became your Father. And this is what Jesus is saying to His disciples as they looked at Him and they said, "Teach us to pray." And when he taught them to pray, he opened his mouth and the most unbelievable words came out of his mouth as he was teaching his disciples to pray. And those words were this: "Our Father." They had never in their life, never in their mind, thought to address God as their Father. But this is exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal, that God is the Father of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is actually our Father, and we want to praise His holy name, that He has taken us from darkness to light and translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's forgiven us for our sins. God is actually our Father. So Jesus says, of all the names of God that He could have revealed, He reveals to us, God is your Father. Now, He goes on, "Our Father, which art in heaven." So God is in heaven, but at the same time, He's near. He's here. He's our Father. Amen. Now, our Father's name is what I want to try to deal with a little bit this morning. And the Bible says, as He was teaching them to pray, and He was giving them structure, so to speak, for their prayer life and their communion with God, their Father, Jesus said, "Hallowed be Thy name." Hallowed. So, Abba Father, not any of the other names that God could be addressed by, but the name Father is to be hallowed. What does it mean? It means to set apart. It means to reverence. It means to treat as holy, because His character demands it. The character of the Father demands that His name be hallowed. All right? Now, how is His name hallowed? His name is hallowed when my life inside and outside looks like His Son, Jesus Christ. This is how the Father's name is hallowed. This is how it's set apart. This is how it's reverenced. This is how it's treated as holy, when my life on the inside and the outside is a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we understand concerning the Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and He is pleased when we look like the Son. And when we look like the Son, it hallows His name, because when Jesus came to reveal the name of the Father, He also hallowed the name of the Father by doing the will of the Father. Are you listening? We ever wonder about that passage of Scripture that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth? This is what this is dealing with. Dying to self that the Father may be glorified was a testimony that she just gave. Hallowed be Thy name. We hallow the name of the Father, and we show our connection to the Father by faithful and affectionate obedience, demonstrating the loyalty of a child to his father. And it ought to be, there ought to be a relationship. This is one of the reasons why John came to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. So, purpose of our praying and the purpose of our living. Look at here. He says, "Hallowed be Thy name." Now, what I believe as I've studied this, we have our Father on one side, which art in heaven. And then we have "Hallowed be Thy name." Everybody see that? And then after that, we have "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth." And then we have some requests here in verse number 3. "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And I want to allow this passage of Scripture to define. I've given us a definition of hallowed, but I want to allow this passage of Scripture to further define what it means to hallow the name of the Father. Now, our Father has a kingdom. The Bible says, "Thy kingdom come." All right? Listen to me. When I hallow the Father's name, I pray, "Thy kingdom come." When I pray, "Thy kingdom come," I'm saying, "God, God's kingdom over my kingdom." Hey, listen up. When I say, "Thy kingdom come," I'm saying, "God's kingdom over my kingdom." And whenever I put my kingdom first, because let's face it, we all have something that we're pursuing that may not be what God's kingdom is. Are you listening? And God's name is not hallowed when I'm not pursuing His kingdom. When I'm pursuing my kingdom, when I'm pursuing my desires, the name of the Father is not hallowed. And so it's going to be difficult to pray our Father, which art in heaven, if I'm calling Him Father, but my life is not involved in the things that His name is attached to, like His kingdom. Everybody understand what's going on here? So when I am not hallowing His name by praying for His kingdom to come, then I need to have some heartfelt repentance, realizing, God, I've been wanting my way and not your way. And as long as I want my way, His name is not hallowed. Understand? Listen to me. It's going to be difficult to even call Him Father if I'm not pursuing His kingdom. Everybody understand what's going on here? This is how the name of the Father is hallowed when I say, Thy kingdom come. When I'm looking and I'm desiring and I'm pursuing His kingdom. So, I honor His kingdom when I pray for it to come. Are you listening to me? Not that I have everything that I want and I'm able to do all that I want to do before I'm down this earth like people's goals are. Hey, I just want to have $1 million. I just want to have a nice house. I want to be able to do the 50 things on my bucket list. You're not really concerned about the kingdom. And so His name is not hallowed. Is God against comfort and leisure? He's not against those things, but we're talking about hallowing His name here. So we honor His kingdom by praying for it to come. Now, we should have a longing in our heart. Here's what Jesus is saying, that when we pray to our Father, there ought to be a longing in the heart of His children for His kingdom. In other words, when we come to our Father and we see that He is righteous and we see that He is holy and we see that He is just and we look in the world at all of the unholiness, unrighteousness and unjust and everything that goes on in the world of darkness, He says that instead of partaking of the kingdom of the world, we ought to pray His kingdom come. Are you listening? When we pray, the desire of our heart should be, Your kingdom come, Father. We should pray and long in our hearts for the King to come and to put away all evil and to reign supreme upon the earth. And He is going to do that. But my life ought to reflect that He is King right now. Amen. My life right now. Listen, He is going to literally come back to this earth. And He is going to set His reign upon this earth. And there's never been a king like Him. And there never will be a king like Him. And you're in that kingdom or you're not in that kingdom. Those are the only two kind of people. But let's make sure that it ought to be the desire of those who were born again by the Spirit of God. His kingdom come. His kingdom come. Listen, I'm telling you, what's wrong with us today is it's too much about our kingdom and not His kingdom. Not His kingdom. And we ought to have this longing in our hearts, desiring that heaven's will be done on this earth. This is what we ought to desire. We ought to desire our God to manifest His righteousness in a way that it hasn't been manifested. So we need to ask our Father, listen, how do we express concern about the kingdom right now? Listen, Jesus has left us here. He is coming back. Amen. And He is coming back to establish His kingdom. But before He returns to establish His kingdom, your prayer and my prayer needs to be this. Father, use me to accomplish what you want in this earth so that your name is reverenced. My life ought to be bringing reverence to the name of God. My life ought to be hallowing His name. Notice the next phrase, Thy will be done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Not only am I praying for His kingdom to come, I'm praying for His will to be done. Now the two phrases go together, but please understand, Jesus, when He was on that cross, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase. Everybody understand what's going on here? And what needs to happen as she gave testimony, she needed to decrease so that God could increase. His will be done. His will be done. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is actually our Father, but out of loyalty of relationship, the Father knows best, and because He knows best, His will be done. His will be done. As a matter of fact, for those of us who have children, we know that the children, they get to a place in their life where they think they know what's best, don't they? And you know they haven't walked where you've walked. Isn't that right? And you know they make a decision, and you know this is not the best decision. You wouldn't let them make the decision. They'll hurt themselves, wouldn't they? How much more would a perfect father? How much more would a perfect father? Are you listening this morning? Listen, Jesus said when you address the Father, pray for His will to be done. Do you know that if God gave us what we want, we'd kill ourselves? If you gave your child everything that he or she wanted, they'd end up hurting themselves really bad. Well, our perfect Heavenly Father has a will to be carried out in this earth. Amen? So, we need to ask Him to use us to accomplish what He wants so that His name is hallowed. So, thy will be done, His will over mine, and once again, heartfelt repentance when my will is not set on doing His will. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37 and verse 4 there. So, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice this, as in heaven, so in earth. The will of God is being carried out in heaven. The will of God needs to be carried out on earth. The will of God is carried out on earth when God's children say, God, use me to accomplish your will here. Are you listening? Now, verse number 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. What is Jesus saying here? Everybody see the phrase? Notice it says day by day, and then it says our daily bread. Everybody see that? You paid attention to that? Does it seem like it's redundant? Give us day by day our daily bread. Are you listening? Give us day by day our daily bread. Listen, Jesus said when we pray to the Father, one of the ways that we hallow His name, is absolute dependence upon Him. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Notice what He said. Day by day, our what? Daily bread. Do you see that? Now listen, I'm going to be just dead honest with you. I've always had a hard time with the day by day daily bread prayer. You say, why? Let me just tell you how foolish I've been. I'm just being honest with you. When the refrigerator has food in it, or the cupboard has food in it, why am I praying if the food's already there? Pastor, you're not spiritual at all. I get it. I'm just being honest. Are you listening to me? Why am I praying for my food every day if I can leave church right now, go to my refrigerator, and cook something? And I can probably cook something today, and maybe cook something tomorrow. Everybody listen to me. Listen, the 21st century didn't catch Jesus off guard. There's a reason why we have this prayer here. This prayer is for total dependence upon the Father. Listen, one of the ways that His name is hallowed is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So look here. Let's just dig into this passage a little bit. Notice this. Total dependence upon God for what? For my physical, material, and my spiritual blessings. As a matter of fact, in the immediate context, Jesus hadn't died yet, and He hadn't been buried, and He hadn't rose from the dead. But He promised in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit of God would come to permanently indwell men. Everybody understand that? But it hadn't happened yet since Jesus had not died. Everybody understand that? So that when you get to verse number 13 out of the passage that we're dealing with, and He says, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Well, the disciples there, they were anticipating that God give the Spirit, but He hadn't given the Spirit yet because Jesus had not been glorified, as it tells us in the book of John. So we listen, the point I'm making is this. We don't pray for God to give us the Holy Spirit today. He's already come, right? And for those who've been born again by the Spirit of God, He lives inside of us. But we do pray for the filling and control of the Spirit. But we're not praying for the Holy Spirit to come from heaven and fill the earth. That's already happened. Amen. But here's the point. We totally depend on God for our physical, material, and spiritual blessings. All right, now, here's the point. As I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and as I actively engage myself in the work of the kingdom, doing His will, listen, He says this, I am going to meet your needs as your life is engaged in the business of my kingdom. Now, this is challenging for us because we don't believe God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right? When my life is about His kingdom, when my will is to do His will, notice this right here. Jesus says, now you pray for your daily bread. Remember when He sent the disciples out two by two and He told them, don't take an extra coat? Remember that? Don't take an extra purse. And as they went out and preached and did the work of God, He was going to meet their needs on a day by day basis as they did the kingdom work. Everybody understand that? Well, it's no different today. God meets our need. Now, this day by day, our daily bread, a very interesting statement. I'm trying to work my way down to it. But understand this. You see the first word day? You see the first word day there and where it says give us day by day? You see that word there? All right. The word day there has the idea of the word down. Down. I see you're fascinated. It's wonderful. All right. You remember the passage of Scripture in the book of James? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh what? Down from the Father of lights. Who's the Father of lights? He's our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus said, pray, give us this day. So give down to us today. Give us down. All right. What we need from the Father, it comes down from the Father. This is the first word day. And then He says by day, and that would be day like we would think in the day, like a 24-hour period day or a period of time or so on and so forth. So He says, listen, give down today our daily bread. Now, here's the thing about our needs. And I'll get to this last part here in just a moment. How many of you say, I got needs? How many say, I got needs? All right. All right. So now, look at what God does. And this is where we miss it. What's the purpose of needs? We don't even know what the purpose of having needs are. We just know that we have needs. We don't even know what the purpose of having needs are. Is there a purpose for having needs? I just wish all my needs were met. Well, have you thought about the purpose? Well, what did He teach us to pray? He taught us to pray our Father, right? Which art in heaven. So here it is. Here it is. Jesus is concerned that the Father is everything to us. So give us day by day our daily bread, so that when my needs come up, it should drive me to deeper intimacy with my Father. That's the purpose of needs. You didn't get that. Here's what Jesus is teaching us to pray. That God is my all in all. So that when my needs come up, I'm going to my Father. The purpose of me having needs is to remind me that I need closeness with the Father. Everybody understand that? We all have needs and we'll all confess. Some of you got needs. You got things you need. I mean, you got legitimate needs right now. And here's why God is saying, here's why you have that need. I want you to get to know me better. And when you get to know me better, it hallows my name. So the way that I have set things up, so to speak, you have legitimate needs that I've designed you to have, not just for the sake of fulfilling those needs, but for the sake that you get to know your Father in the process. Everybody understand? This is what Jesus is teaching us to pray. When He says, hallowed be thy name, when He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One of the ways that his name is hallowed or reverenced or set apart is that when I'm absolutely dependent on him. So needs are necessary to help me not to fend for myself and to make it happen, but to go to the one who gives every good gift and every perfect gift. If I understand that. So when I pray to my Father, it allows me to be closer to him. It allows me to express trust in him. Now, notice this last phrase here. This last phrase. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, doesn't that sound like, wouldn't day by day be the same thing as daily? Well, it may appear. But studying this and reading after others who've studied this, some rendered the phrase like this, and there's great justification for it. And I want to explain right from the context why this is. Some see this as the word daily here, where it says daily bread, the daily that comes before bread, it's also rendered tomorrow. It's also rendered tomorrow. But isn't there another passage of Scripture that says, what's the passage over there in Matthew's where it says, not give us this day, but the part that tells us not to worry about tomorrow. What's the passage of Scripture? Give no thought for tomorrow. All right. Remember that passage? Is that a contradiction? Look at me. No. Here's why. We're not talking about worrying. We're talking about trusting. Listen to me. Trust God for tomorrow. You can trust God for tomorrow without worrying about tomorrow. Are you listening to me? It says one passage says, take no thought for tomorrow. That passage doesn't say not necessarily to plan, but how do I plan? I plan by trusting God to give me my bread for tomorrow. Everybody understand that? I'm not worried. I'm trusting. Everybody understand that? I'm not worried. I wonder where it's going to come from. No. Here's what God said in an intimate relationship with your Father in which his name is hallowed, that your trust is completely on him so that he meets your needs day by day by day. Amen. Now listen to me. God knows that we're going to have needs that we're not even aware of. Isn't that right? So what does he say? Pray every day. Listen, sometimes have you ever felt that it was too late when an emergency came up? But guess what? Your emergencies never caught God off guard. So you know what he said? Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray for your bread today and pray for today's bread. Pray for tomorrow. So this prayer and intimacy with God and dependence upon God is an ongoing thing. Everybody understand that? So God, give me bread today. Give me bread tomorrow, not out of fear, but out of trust. I'm not taking thought, but God, if you allow me to see the next day, I've prayed and you want to meet my need of whatever I need for today. And as long as God gives me breath, he's going to give me sufficiency for that day. But I need to depend on him for today's bread and tomorrow's bread. I don't need to worry about tomorrow's bread. I need to depend on God for tomorrow's bread. Everybody understand that? I need to depend on God for tomorrow's bread. My total confidence needs to be in my Father's ability to provide my needs. My total confidence needs to be in my Father. So tomorrow's bread, I'm praying for tomorrow's bread. Listen to me. I'm praying for tomorrow's bread today. Daily bread. I'm praying for tomorrow's bread today. God meeting my physical needs, but God ultimately meeting my spiritual needs. All right. So now physically, understand if this prayer was prayed in the morning. What would I be praying for? So if I prayed this prayer in the morning, it would address the needs of the day, the rest of the day. Everybody understand that? But if I took the same prayer and prayed it at nighttime, and I say, give me this day my daily bread, what day would I be talking about? The day that I'm praying now is already passed. The next morning. Everybody understand that? So now, If I pray this prayer in the evening, it addresses the needs of the next day. So now, this prayer, understand this, it deals with our legitimate needs. Not all the stuff we want out of the Neiman Marcus catalog. I remember when we used to get them catalogs when I was a little kid. We never got any of the things out of catalogs. I think the most we got was and I heard you give testimony in our house, like every Christmas you would get a bag of fruit and some nuts and things like that. And we got the same thing. And then we got these wooden toys. I don't know if you got the wooden toys. We got some wooden toys. That catalog was way beyond wooden toys, if you know what I mean. But we got a few wooden toys. We never got anything out of those Sears Toys R Us. We knew the Toys R Us. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Whatever the case may be. There's many toys and things and bikes that I can play with. And if you know the song, you can fill me in on it. But I forgot it a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, we never got anything out of those catalogs. But you know what I've come to realize? Nothing in those catalogs was necessary for life. The things that God tells us to pray for, they're necessary for life. Does God give us things that we want? He does. But as our Father, He is faithful to meet our needs. He may not always give us what we want, but He is faithful to meet our needs. Everybody understand that? So Jesus said, when you go to your Father, one of the ways that you hallow His name is complete and total dependence upon Him to meet your needs. And as long as you breathe, He'll meet your needs, amen. And not only will He meet your material needs, because listen, God is so, if I can say this, God is so practical and down to earth. He knows that you need clothes when it's cold and you need clothes that warm you. He knows that you need food and shelter, and He knows that you need transportation. Everybody understand what's going on here? He knows that there are things necessary for life to maintain a family and to maintain well-being. And guess what? Jesus says, go and ask your Father. And keep asking, and keep asking, and keep asking. An indicator of the greatness of God is this. He's willing to meet us exactly where we are. He's willing to meet you and me exactly where we are. This daily bread, this total dependence upon the Father. Can I just say something? You know, when I pray for my daily bread, when I pray day by day my daily bread, I'm confronted with some things. I'm confronted with this right here. I'm confronted with worry. This prayer helps me not to worry. Are you listening to me? If I'm gonna hallow His name, doing the work of His kingdom, doing His will instead of mine, I'm not gonna do that if I'm constantly worried about where my care is gonna come from. That does not hallow the name of the Father. It doesn't set His name apart. It actually slanders His name and accuses Him of being a father who's not able to provide when I worry. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So the type Jesus is teaching us to pray, He's not teaching us to say a prayer. Listen, I've said many prayers and still worry. Why? Because I've said a prayer. I didn't pray and actually talk to God. I said a prayer. Everybody with me here? And listen, when you say a prayer, you're probably going to take your worry with you as well. We're not interested in saying prayers. We're interested in talking to our Father. Everybody understand the difference here? And Jesus said, when you go and talk to your Father, you express your total confidence in Him by praying every day for your daily bread and for your bread for tomorrow. Are you listening? Your bread for tomorrow. Now listen, this type of praying right here, this confronts our proneness to wander off into covetousness. Are you listening to me? Listen, depending upon the Father will keep me from wandering off into covetousness or desiring more things than that is necessary. Are you listening to me? I need the things, I have necessities for life. Are you listening to me? You do as well. But isn't it amazing that God has really met all of our needs and we still want so much more? That's covetousness. To desire more than necessary. Listen, church, the reason why we're not on mission with God like we ought to be on mission with God is because we're weighed down with more stuff than we need. And then we're looking for more. I said, and then we're looking for more. And Jesus said, pray for your daily bread. Someone said, don't go shopping. Don't take the Neiman Marcus catalog to your prayer closet. It ain't going to help you there. Don't take the Sears catalog to your prayer closet. Listen, praying for our daily bread confronts our proneness to wander off into covetousness. Praying for our daily bread confronts us concerning the fact that most of us, no doubt, spend our lives neglecting the pursuit of intimacy. Listen, if I do not pray for my daily bread and I realize that I have needs, I'm going to spend most of my time, most of my power, most of my energies trying to meet my needs and probably then some. Listen to me. And Jesus said, actually, your Father wants to do these things for you. You need to spend your power pursuing Him. Did you hear that? Listen to me. Here's what He's saying. You're going to spend your energy doing something. You're going to spend your time doing something. Most people are spending their time just to try to I just want to make sure that when I retire, I'm set and I don't have a need of anything. And you will neglect a walk with God to be able to have what you think is necessary for this world. And you slander God and say that He's not able to provide every time you try to do it in your own strength. And that does not hallow His name. I hear all the time where you just got to put God first. And so I say, well, what does it look like? People say just put God first and everything. But people don't really know how to put God first because we don't know how to trust God. You're not going to put God first if you don't trust Him with your life. I said, you're not going to put Him first when Caesar has all your time and Caesar has all your powers and Caesar has all your abilities. Do you understand what's going on here? You're not going to put God. It's impossible to put Him first when Caesar has all of that right there. You're not going to put God first when you're consumed with worry. And so Jesus is teaching us relational prayer. He's teaching us intimate prayer. He's teaching us our Father is everything. Well, don't a person got to work? Can I just remind you of something? When Adam was in the garden, God gave him work, didn't He? But I want you to know that before He gave Adam work to do, all of Adam's needs were met. You never thought about that, huh? You know why? Adam, I'm giving you work, but work is not going to be the God that provides life for you. I provide life for you. I provide life for you. And all Jesus is doing is turning the hearts of the children to the Father. And your job is not God, and your abilities are not God. And I was taking care of you long before anything came along because I am God. Are you listening to me? So here's what Jesus knows. He knows the best thing is this. Pursue intimacy with the Father. Pursue your God. And that's what He says in Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added unto you. The things that we're working to get added unto us, Jesus says, you're wasting your time pursuing those things. And you're going to be poor towards God. I need to be rich in my prayer life with God, rich in my communion with God, rich in my intimacy with God, rich in my pursuit of God. Everybody understand what's going on here? I don't need to be rich towards the world and poor with God. And this kind of prayer is the kind of prayer that helps us to be intimate and deep and rooted with our Father. Amen. Now, I'm excited about this because God is my Father and God meets my needs. And I pray that you would understand that God is your Father. Listen, most of us have spent our lives neglecting pursuit of intimacy with our Father. And notice, the more and more we try to provide our needs in the world apart from Him, the more and more we're declaring our independence of God. God says intimacy, not independence. Are you listening to me? I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to secure my future, and I'm going to do whatever is necessary, then it's your kingdom and not His kingdom. It's your will and not His will. Do you understand why Jesus gave us this, what He gave us in this prayer? Because if my life is not totally consumed with God, God's kingdom ain't going to be worked out. God's will ain't going to be worked out. And I'm going to spend my life trying to provide for my life, and the Father's name will not be hallowed. And guess what? The reason why the world is not being reached with the gospel is because the people who are supposed to be reaching the world with the gospel is not hallowing the Father's name. Because we're too busy slandering His name, saying that I don't trust God. He saved me, but He can't feed me. He saved me. He met my greatest need, but He can't really meet my lesser needs. We need to think about that. He saved me from hell, but He just can't feed me. He saved me from hell, but He just can't give me clothes. He saved me from hell, but He just can't take care of my children. Where do we come up with this? That's a slander against our Father. That is a slander. If He can't feed you, He can't save you. All of these needs that Jesus said, they're lesser needs. The greatest need has been met. He's your Father. You've been forgiven. So if He's met that need, you're going to go hungry? The God of heaven? The God of heaven's going to let you go hungry? The God of heaven's going to make sure that you're not... You're the God of heaven who is your Father? He's not... Listen, He's not just the God of heaven. He's actually your Father. You've been saved by His grace. Amen. He's going to let you go hungry? No. That's slander. That's slander of the worst sort. Everybody understand? To accuse God of not being able to take care of His... To say, I'm trusting God to take me to heaven. I'm trusting Him to be forgiven for my sins, which are the greatest needs that you have. And then out of the same mouth says, oh man, I got to go out here and get it because it's only me out here doing it. Are you listening to me? And as long as I'm out here doing it, I'm not going to be a part of the kingdom business. I'm not going to be a part of the kingdom business. Someone said a suggested obituary would read like this. He died or she died financially secure and independent with no need of anything or anyone, not even God. Some people said that's how some of our obituaries going to, it ain't what it's going to say in the eyes of the people, but that's how it's really going to read before God. They lived their life pursuing independence of me because they did not trust me that I was actually their Father to meet their needs. He or she died financially secure and independent with no need of anything or anyone, not even God. Now listen, many of us will never see our need for God because we are convinced that God is not a faithful Father who really meets the needs that we so desperately try to meet in our own strength. You all remember the account in Exodus when the manna was coming from heaven? You remember that account, Exodus 16? And he said, now you gather day for day, right? But on the sixth day, you gather twice because you're not going to go out on the seventh day. You all remember that? You remember that account there? And they would gather, and every morning they would gather. Every morning they would go out, it would be there, right? And he says, don't leave anything left over, and don't try to gather more than is necessary. And the one says, he that gathered much had none left over, and he that gathered least didn't lack. And then some of them had the nerves. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, go back and read the story. Some of them had the nerves. Well, let's just see if there's really not going to be any food out there on the seventh day. And they went out there. And guess what? It was just like God said. No food. Are you listening to me? What's the point? The point is, there's people who will reject God. And God says, actually, this is what I want you to do. I don't really believe God's word. I'm sure that I can go against what God said. I'm sure that I don't have to exercise faith in God. And things are going to be just fine. Well, they went out there and they found no food. Are you listening to me? We have to trust God for our daily bread. He just illustrated back there. You got to trust me. Listen, you're going to go out in the morning. You're going to pick it up. You're going to go get it. You're going to get enough for you. You're going to get enough for whoever's in your household. But you're going to trust me. Don't go out there on the day that I say it's not going to be out there because it's not going to be out there. We don't believe you, God. And then they go out there and then they find that it's not out there. Are you listening to me? Let's go to the New Testament. You remember the rich man who had his barns? And he says, that's actually right in this account. Let's just turn there. Let's turn there. Since we're just a couple pages over. Look over here right in the book of Luke. Look at the next chapter, chapter 12. I'm trying to get wrapped up here, but I'm trying to help us here with our prayer life. Look at Luke 12. The Bible says in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness." Notice this, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Listen, listen, we are living this life to possess stuff, and God says your life don't consist in it. Are you listening to me? And as long as I'm pursuing things that does not make up my life, then I'm going to neglect intimacy with the Father. And this is what Jesus says. Notice this right here. And he says, "And he spake a parable," verse number 16, "unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Everybody see that there? "And he brought, and he thought within," notice, "he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Do you hear this man is saying, "I've got so much stuff that I need a bigger house to keep all this other stuff in because I just keep getting stuck." Everybody understand what's going on here? This is what this man is saying. "And I will say to my soul," verse number 19, "soul, thou hast much," notice this, "thou hast much goods laid up for" what? "Many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And what does God say unto this man with this attitude? And all he did was work, work, work. He had no relationship with God. He invested not in spiritual things. His life was about work and retirement and laying up for many days. That's what his life was consumed with. Listen, and if you would be honest, your life is a lot like that. And Jesus called the man a fool. And so are we when we're not rich towards God. Are you listening to me? Oh, you got your life and you got your journey and you got your things. And God, Jesus says, listen, you have a Father. If you have believed on me as your Savior, you have a Father who absolutely, faithfully meets all of your needs. And instead of intimacy with the Father, we are rich towards the world and not rich towards God. And God says we are fools because we have no control over when we die. And when we die, all those things that we've gathered, it's not even guaranteed that it's going to your family. Notice what he told that man. "Then who shall those things be which thou hast laid up?" Oh, I'm planning retirement. Make sure my kids go to college. Make sure they have a good life after that. Blah, 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 blah. And then you die getting rich that way and not rich towards God. And God says you're a fool. And God says you don't even have any control that your estate is going to your kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have any control over that. You know what a rich man could have been doing? Getting rich towards God. Mm-hmm. And God says everyone is a fool who's not rich towards me. And this whole prayer is for the purpose of getting rich towards our Father. Everybody get it? The whole purpose of Jesus teaching us to pray, not to say a prayer, but to pray, is to get rich in where it matters. This is what this is. This is relationship with the Father. And this is what Jesus said was necessary. So, once again, we are confronted with the lack of prioritizing the kingdom. Is it possible to seek the kingdom and God not provide for you? Impossible. Is it possible to seek God's will and He not provide for you? Impossible. Impossible. You do not have to do His will in your power. You do not have to seek His kingdom in your power. The Bible says, no man goeth to war at his own charges. You know, we got our soldiers in the military. Wouldn't it be crazy if they had to supply all their uniforms, supply all their food, and then fight for the country? But that's not how it works. Yeah. Why? Because no one goes to war at his own charges. No one goes to war and then they come out of their own pocket to go to war. So we're going to serve our God. We're going to serve our Father in His kingdom. And He's going to tell us to fit the bill for it. Where do we come up with that? Jesus says it's intimacy, it's closeness with God. It's you praying and talking to your Father in absolute dependence upon Him to meet your needs. Now listen, listen, This confronts our lack of prioritizing God's kingdom. It confronts our deceptive thinking. It confronts this thinking that says God can't take care of us. It confronts our lack of closeness with God the Father. And it causes us to slander His name, as I mentioned, because of our unbelief. And our unbelief means that His name is not hallowed. We need to pray and thank God and depend on God every day, whether we're rich or poor. We depend on Him every day. The rich. Somebody, have you, brothers and sisters, they're rich. Well, guess their prayer still needs to be, give me this day. Give me day by day my daily bread. As difficult as that may appear. Everybody understand that? We still depend on God. But notice, the ultimate bread of tomorrow is always spiritual. And this is where I say this, give us tomorrow's bread today. Remember, if my heart is right with God, I'm praying for His kingdom, and I'm praying for His will, and I'm praying for His name to be hallowed. Everybody understand that? I want to hallow His name. I want to pursue His kingdom. I want to live out His will while I'm on this earth. But there is an ultimate future sense in which all of this is going to take place. Everybody understand that? There is coming a day where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody understand that? It does not appear right now. But listen, right now, I've humbled my heart. I've bowed my knee. I confess that Jesus is Lord. Everybody understand that? But there is going to come a day where that is going to be so. Period. So everyone bows. Some people choose to bow now. Some people bow later. Some people choose to bow when there's an acceptable time. And then there's some people who are going to bow where time is out. But everyone bows. Are you listening to me? Everyone bows. His kingdom, His name will be hallowed. So the bread of tomorrow is this right here. God, I'm pursuing. I want Your name to be hallowed in my life right now. But I'm looking for that ultimate future when Your name is hallowed by all. That's spiritual bread. Everybody understand that? God, I'm in Your kingdom right now. You're absent from the kingdom. Jesus is. Everybody understand that? But one day You're going to come and set Your rule and reign up on this earth. But Your kingdom is in my heart right now because I've surrendered my heart to You. Everyone hasn't done that, but it's not going to stop Your kingdom from coming. Everybody understand that? And God, everyone hasn't submitted to Your will, but God, by believing on Your Son, I submit it to Your will. But it's going to happen in an ultimate sense where everyone's going to be submitted to His will. Everybody understand that? That's the bread of tomorrow. That's the bread of tomorrow. So give me day by day, give me my daily bread, but also give me the bread of tomorrow. Give it to me today. It's the desire of this. God, I want to see Your righteousness in the earth. I want to see Your kingdom in the earth. And it may not appear that that's the case right now, but it's going to be. And I want that bread. If you look in your Bible and you look in your Gospels, you'll realize that when Jesus talked about the marriage feast and the banquets and different things like that, He referred to it as a feast. The kingdom is going to be a feast. We pray for our daily bread. We pray for the bread of tomorrow. We pray for the bread, that bread today, because guess what? In the kingdom, we're going to feast. And we know that we ultimately feast on Jesus, who's the bread of life. Amen. In John 6 and verse number 51. But that's the spiritual bread that we're dealing with here. His kingdom is here, but it's a future reality, and we anticipate the perfect sense of the kingdom. So it is with His will, so on and so forth. Now look here, verse number 4, and I'm trying to... And that's it. We're doing good. Verse number 4. So everybody there, Luke 11. So we trust Him every single day. We trust Him every single day. Now look here. I'm just going to be brief on verse number 4, and I may expound it a little bit more at a later time. But look at what it says here. And forgive us our sins. Everybody see that? Now look. How do I hallow the Father's name? His name is hallowed when I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. And I'm willing to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Everybody understand that? If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just, forgiving my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And when I say what God says about my sin and I confess and forsake my sin, hallowed be Thy name. Everybody understand what's going on here? Now look at the next phrase. I'm just trying to work through this quickly. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Wait a minute. All right. Now. What kind of forgiveness do you experience from God? Let me tell you. Here it is. The same kind of forgiveness that you're willing to give out. Well, no, you didn't read it. You read it. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. All right. Can I ask this? What level of indebtedness are you willing to forgive? Yeah. Are you listening to me? Because whatever it is, it's what you can expect from God. So the point is this. I hallow His name when I realize that I am wrong, and then I go and ask Him for forgiveness. But I also want to manifest the same forgiveness that He's forgiven me with. Forgiveness is part of the kingdom. I'm talking about manifesting His character, and His character is a forgiving character. Amen? It hallows His name when I forgive others like He has forgiven me. Are you listening to me? But rest assured, to whatever degree I forgive, that's the degree I can expect or not expect forgiveness from Him. Isn't that right? For what measure ye meet, it shall be what measured unto you. Isn't that right? So listen, we're talking about total dependence upon God for everything, verse number 3. And then we're talking about seeking God's forgiveness in verse number 4. Manifesting His character in the way that He forgives, and all things for that matter. Amen. And then notice this last part. This kind of trips people up, but it's not too difficult when you compare scripture to scripture. Notice what He says. And lead us not into temptation. Everybody see that? You ever wondered about that? You ever wondered? I mean, we're quick to blame people for the things that we fall into. But the truth of the matter is you can't blame God for temptation. The Bible says neither tempteth He any man. Everybody understand that? Where do we get that at? We get that out of the book of James. But what is this? I've heard people trying to rewrite the Bible and change this because they said this can't be what it says. No, it is what it says. We just have to struggle and think through it. But thank God that He's given us other scriptures to help us think through it. Everybody understand that? It doesn't need to be changed. So how do we deal with and lead us not into temptation? And we read over in James that He doesn't tempt us with anything. All right? So I've got to struggle and I've got to think through that. So here we are right here. How many know that temptation in itself is not bad? It's not? No. Temptation is not bad. How many know that when Satan tempted Eve, the temptation was not bad? It wasn't? How many know that when Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness, the temptation was not bad? I'm waiting for this right here because I thought temptation was bad. No. Temptation is good for everyone. As a matter of fact, the reason why God allowed Adam and Eve to be tempted was to demonstrate free will and love. Temptation shows that we're not robots, so to speak. But what's bad? What's bad is our wills and what we yield to. Everybody understand that? So when they're praying, when we ought to pray, lead us not into temptation, the idea is not God. Now, God, don't you lead me into evil. He doesn't have the capacity to do that. But God, in temptation, I'm prone to wonder because I'm bad. Did you hear that? The issue is not with the temptation. The issue is with the condition of my heart. Everybody listening? The issue is not with the temptation. We need them to prove our faith and our love. We need them. The issue is with our heart. So when they say, lead us not into temptation, this prayer basically is acknowledging this. It acknowledges my dependence upon God and my need for His deliverance due to my proneness to evil. You understand now? So when He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? Because God, I'm prone to wander. And God, I need You that when my heart is going astray, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Do you get it? You see, God doesn't have the ability to lead you into evil. He only does good. God is only good. He has not the capacity of anything evil in Him. Everybody understand that? But I'm evil. And if I'm not seeking intimacy with God, I'm going to go off and do evil things. All of us are. Trust my heart. Your heart's deceived. You have to trust God and His Word to lead your heart. So if I am going to hallow His name, I need to address Him as Father, pursue His kingdom, His will, daily dependence upon Him for my daily needs and the ultimate spiritual needs of tomorrow. Everybody understand this here? And I need to seek His forgiveness when I'm wrong. I need to forgive like He forgives. And I need to trust Him to deliver me from my proneness to go astray. This is how His name is hallowed. And this is how Jesus wants us to pray. Not to say a prayer, but to pray. Are you listening? And we're going to try to finish the rest of these verses up tonight. Like I said, all day we're going to be here in Luke's Gospel. And we're just trying to get some help. But just quickly, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ showed us the importance of prayer. As Jesus' disciples, we ought to see prayer as important. As Jesus' disciples, we ought to be teaching our disciples to pray. If I'd understand that. And then we address the God of the universe as our Father. For those who've been born again by the Spirit of God, God is your Father. If you're not saved, you're not born again by the Spirit of God, you can't call Him Father. He's not your Father. As a matter of fact, He tells us that you're a child of the devil. That's everyone that hasn't been born again by the Spirit of God. And so if you say, I'm not sure that I'm born again by the Spirit of God, we'd like to take the Bible and show you how you can know from the Bible, how you can know that God is actually my Father. God's not your Father because you attend church. God's not your Father because you pray. God's not your Father because you consider yourself to be religious. God's not your Father because you consider yourself to be a good person. Jesus told Nicodemus, I was just visiting with a man yesterday, got out of my truck and he was walking up the street. Got an opportunity to stop and talk with him. And I got to talking with him about just the difference between he says, well, I'm a man of God. And then he rolled up his sleeves. I'm not making fun of him, but he rolled up his sleeves and showed me all the tattoos with all the scriptures on them. I said, man, all that is fine and well, but what I'm talking to you is the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. I said, listen, sir, I said, I know Michael Jordan, but I never met the man before. He stepped back and his eyes were open wide. He says, oh, he says, I never thought about that. Now, the man is religious, but it doesn't mean that he knows God. All right, listen, it's the same thing we've been dealing with. Listen, do you know that you've been personally forgiven? I go to church. I didn't ask you, did you go to church? I asked you, do you know that you've been personally forgiven by, I pray every night. I didn't ask you if you pray every night. Do you understand that? He had his tattoos of scriptures galore. He had them too. But it wasn't an indication that he actually knew God. I said, I know about Donald Trump. I just never met the man. So I gave him a track and I pray to be able to see him again. But all the religious hoopla, I don't mean that somebody knows God. And this prayer right here is for people that know God. Because God is the actual Father of those who come to believe on Jesus as their Savior. So brothers and sisters, as we move forward in our praying and in our intimacy with God, I want to encourage you in this right here. God is your Father. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, He's your Father. If you haven't been born again by the Spirit of God, He's not your Father. He's your judge. And there's a difference. Father, we thank You. We praise You. And we rejoice that we can call You Father through faith in Your Son. Father, according to Your Son, Jesus Christ, the way that we hallow Your name is that we call You Father and we seek Your kingdom, seek Your will, depend on You for all of our needs. We seek Your forgiveness when we failed. We forgive others like you forgive us. And we trust you to overcome temptation. That hallows your name. I pray, Father, that your disciples will look to hallow your name. We thank you for this day. We ask your mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that your prayers will never be the same. Amen. Let's go and talk to God our Father. Amen. He is your Father. Pursue that over anything else that this world has to offer. And God said, you'll be rich. Amen. Once again, Sister Victoria, thank you for that testimony. What a blessing that was. And I think right on time. We'll reconvene here at 1 o'clock. Brother Wangston, you come. I said 1 o'clock. You know what I meant.